on to the book of Ephesians, to Ephesians chapter 5. Will you please go in your Bibles with me this morning? Ephesians chapter 5, and in just a moment, I'm going to start reading with verse number 22, Ephesians 5, and verse number 22 in your New Testament. Well, if you are a child of God, then you know that today is the Lord's Day. Today is the first day of the week. It is the day when we as Christians are to assemble so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And you know, even though today is the Lord's Day first and foremost, I think it is important that we point out that today is also a day that our country has set aside to honor mothers. That's right, today is also Mother's Day. And I want to begin this morning by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the crowd this morning. You know, here in this congregation, we're blessed to have so many beautiful and wonderful mothers. Here we have so many good and faithful women of God, so many women who are wonderful wives to their husbands and great managers of their children. I, for one, have been blessed with a wonderful mother back in Texas, and I have a wonderful wife that is here this morning. In fact, today for my family and I, it's not only the Lord's Day and Mother's Day, but today also marks 10 years that my wife and I have been married. My friends, 10 years ago, for some reason, Janicia felt sorry for me, and she decided to marry me. For some reason, 10 years ago, she decided to say I do. You know, so often people will tell me, they'll say, Sean, you married way above your head. And when people tell me that, I immediately respond by saying, you're right, I did marry way above my head. And I'm very thankful that God blessed me to do that. A lot of men cannot say that. My wife has been so good to me. She's been a blessing and an asset to my ministry for God. And she's been a great mother to our son. And I'm blessed to have her and to have our son. I'm blessed to have a family. And if you have a family, I know you feel the very same way. I think you will agree with me this morning when I say that having any kind of a family, that is a blessing from God. In fact, that is what I want to talk with you about in our lesson this morning. My friends, this morning I want to talk with you about family. I want to talk about family with you, not just because it's Mother's Day, but because this is an issue that the Bible says a great deal about. Over and over in our Bibles, we find God giving us instructions about family. God certainly wants us to know the truth about family. For example, I want you to consider in your Bibles, if you don't mind, Ephesians chapter 5. And let's start reading verse number 22. We're going to read down to chapter 6 and verse 4. And I want you to notice all the different things that the Apostle Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about family. He's going to talk a lot about family and the various roles of those who make up a family. In chapter 5, verse 22, he says, wives, submit to be subject or submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having her spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she will be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, by his speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, I certainly understand that was a lengthy read that we just had. But I had to read those verses because they tell us some very important things pertaining to God's plan for your family and for my family. You see, in these verses, Paul talks about the various roles of fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and children. He talks about some of the essential things that are needed to help a family be all that God wants it to be. And I think that is critical information for a congregation like ours. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. Here in this congregation, we have so many families. Here in this place, we're blessed to have fathers and mothers and children and grandparents and grandchildren. We have married people who have children and who do not have children. We have single people who are experiencing the dating phase of life. We have many people who have been married before, but they've lost their spouses to death. We have many people who already raised their children to a level of adulthood, and they're able to impart a lot of practical wisdom to us younger parents. We even have a lot of people here who have experienced the awful process of divorce, and they understand firsthand the terrible damage that brings to a family. Here at Jackson Heights, we're blessed to have something that so many local churches do not have. Here in this place, God has blessed us with families in all sorts of different situations. We have so many people who are currently in so many different aspects of life, and because of that, they're able to bring something unique and valuable to the spiritual family that meets here in this place. Here we have a lot of families. And for those who may be thinking right now, well, Sean, I don't have a spouse or children or grandchildren. But Sean, I don't have a family in that sense. So what am I to do? Well, my friend, I'll tell you what to do this morning. You just look around. Look around. If you are a Christian, it doesn't matter if you have a spouse or children. You still have a family. Your family is your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Your family is the family of God. If you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, then you do have a family. You have those who have been adopted into God's family. You see, if we're Christians, then we all have a family. And this morning, if you don't mind, I just want to talk a little bit about what the Bible says about family. And I want to particularly talk more this morning about the physical family, because unfortunately, for so many families in our society, even in the Lord's church, they're currently losing this battle with the devil. So many families are not strong and equipped properly. So many families are not glorifying God and doing God's will. So many families fall into that category. And this morning, I just want to rehearse a few things that we must know and do if we are going to be different. This morning, I want to title our lesson, The Importance of Family. I want to suggest to you this morning that family is something that is very, very important, and it is important for at least two reasons. Number one, family is important because it is important to God. Families are important to God. In fact, families are really God's idea. You see, it is God who invented family. We did not invent family as human beings. The concept of family did not come from the mind of men. Family was something that came from God. Family is God's idea. It was God who brought together the first couple that formed the first family. I'm going my Bible back to the beginning. I'm going to Genesis chapter 2. Will you please go to Genesis chapter 2? And I want you to notice what happened after God made the first man, Adam, and placed him in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, and verse number 18, after making the first man, the Bible says, and the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Verse 21, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into the woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. ladies and gentlemen, here in these verses, we read about the very first family being formed by God. Here in these verses, we see that family is something that God created all the way back in the beginning, all the way back in the Garden of Eden. It was God who invented family. And since God invented family, it should not surprise us to find His Word, the Bible, filled with tons of instructions about it. You see, all throughout that book you have in your hands this morning, all throughout the Bible, we find God defining the various roles that each member of the family is supposed to play. In the Bible, we learn the responsibilities of husbands and wives and dads and moms and children. In fact, that's exactly why we begin our lesson by reading from Ephesians 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. In those verses, the Bible clearly lays out the various roles given to those who make up a family. In those two chapters, we see very clearly that God has given each member of the family some very important responsibilities. God says that every member of the family has a vital role to play. The husband slash father, the wife slash mother, and the children all have important responsibilities, important things that they must do if the family is going to be all that God intends it to be. God says that every member of the family has an important role to play. In fact, even beyond that, the Bible also speaks a great deal about God's creation. And I emphasize God's creation called marriage. In the gospel, God teaches about the permanency of marriage, the key relationship that really binds and holds a family together. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus taught about marriage in Matthew chapter 19. Will you please go to Matthew chapter 19? These are some verses that our society needs to get back to. In Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus will teach, give us teaching about marriage and divorce. When he says in Matthew 19, verse 1, it says, when the Lord Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? I want you to notice, my friends, that this issue of marriage and divorce was just as controversial in the time of Jesus 2,000 years ago as it is in our time today. Some men who did not like Jesus, who wanted to kill Jesus, they came to him, asking him, testing him with a very controversial question about marriage and divorce. And I want you to see how Jesus will answer their question by taking them back to the beginning. He's going to go back to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He's going to talk about God's original intent for this relationship. In verse number 4, he said, have you not read? Are you not familiar with the word of God, you religious leaders? Do you not know the writings of Moses? Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So there are no longer two, but one flesh. For therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, why did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. My friends, what the Lord is teaching us in these verses is very simple. This is not hard to understand. You don't need to have a PhD to be able to understand this. You don't have to understand the Greek to get what the Lord is saying here. Here the Lord is teaching us something that is very simple. He is saying that marriage is something that is supposed to be a lifetime commitment. That's exactly what he means in verse 6. When he says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said that when two people get married, God wants them to stay together. They are glued together. They are to be committed to that relationship until death separates them. Jesus says that marriage is the closest relationship that two people can have in their lives. It is a sacred institution created by God all the way back in the beginning. It is something that God wants us as human beings to take very seriously. Jesus says that it's not God's will for a husband and a wife to treat each other bad, to divorce and split up their family. Jesus said that wasn't God's will for the very first couple, Adam and Eve, and that's not God's will for mankind today. The main thing I want you to see so far is God has a lot to say about families in the Bible. Do you see that? Do you see that God requires a lot of us and of our families? Do you see that the concept of family is almost as old as dirt, that God is the one that created it, and a man cannot preach the Bible without talking about this important issue at some point? Families are important because they are important to God. And secondly, in your notes, families are important because they are important to us as human beings. Families are important to children. In fact, the family provides the setting in which children are to be nurtured and brought up to a level of maturity. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." I want you to notice how God wants fathers, parents in general, to bring up our children in His ways. He wants us to raise our children in such a way that they will honor Him and serve Him and bring Him glory. That is a God-given responsibility for every single parent, whether our society likes it or not, whether our children like it or not. God wants us to bring up our children to serve Him. And I'll tell you, a strong family is the key in fulfilling what God wants us to do regarding our children. You see, from the instruction of his father and mother, a child learns what he must know to become not only a responsible adult, but to become a devoted servant of God. That's what God wants. And when a family begins to be full of conflict and chaos, that's going to have a tremendous impact on the children. And a great example of this can be seen as something like divorce. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what our culture is trying to preach to us today, the truth is divorce is something that devastates children. And Dr. Judith Wallerstein is somebody who can attest to that. Dr. Judith Wallerstein is somebody who a few years ago, she made a lot of people mad. Maybe you've heard of that before. She's a very interesting character. She actually passed away last year, but she is probably most known for being somebody who decided to study children who were victims of parents who got divorced after the event to see what long-term effects that process would have on their lives. And my friend, she studied these children not just a year or two afterwards, but for 15 years. For 15 years, she studied 131 children who were victims of parents who got divorced. And do you want to know what she found in her research? In her research, she found that children of divorce face a higher risk of depression, poor grades, and substance abuse. They have greater struggles with sexual intimacy. They were at higher risk to having problems fitting in with their peers as young people and problems with relationships as adults. In fact, Dr. Wallerstein argued that the whole trajectory of a child's life changes after divorce. These are her words. But you know, we didn't need her to tell us that, did we? Many of you can testify to this truth firsthand. I'm pretty sure that among us right now, we have adults and young people who can testify to the devastating impact of divorce. Many of you have lived this nightmare. You understand as much as anybody how vital families are to the growth and development of children. You understand that. And I'll tell you, as a gospel preacher, it has never been easy for me to preach about divorce. It never has been. It's never been easy to preach on a subject that you know brings back so many hard memories to people you love and care about so much. But I also believe with all my heart that it is a subject that has to be preached on if we're going to talk about families. We got to teach on this issue because God wants others to avoid having to go through that process. God wants everybody, regardless of their past situation, to know His will for marriage. He wants them to know Matthew 19, verse 6, when Jesus says, "Well, therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." God wants people to know that. God wants people to know that when they don't live by His Word, their families will unravel. They will destroy the God-ordained setting necessary to grow healthy and spiritually minded children. In fact, beyond families being important to our children. Secondly, I want to submit to you that families are also important to our congregation. Think back to Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Where Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." You see, here in this verse, Paul's concern is not simply with raising children who will turn out to be good model citizens. But in the context of this verse, Paul's primary concern is raising children who will be faithful servants of God. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is that we raise our children to faithfully serve the Lord, to dedicate themselves to the cause of God. That's the most important thing. And notice, it's within the family that that spiritual preparation for children begins to take place. And do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that when we come together like this, the things we do when we come together, the Bible classes, the sermons, and even the youth devotionals that individuals of this congregation offer twice a month in their homes, those kinds of things are at best small supplements for the great bulk of teaching that is supposed to be going on at home. You see, unfortunately, the reason we are losing more than 60% of kids in the Lord's church today is because so many families have reversed the process. They have reversed the role. So many families are depending on the church to do all of their teaching for them, and they're only offering small supplements, if any, in their home. And my friends, that is not God's will. That's not what the Bible teaches. And please don't misunderstand. No doubt it is important that as a congregation we offer strong Bible classes and sermons for our children. And it is good that we offer them things like youth devotionals and youth weekends. There's absolutely nothing wrong with us offering those types of things. As a church, as individual Christians, we need to be involved in those types of things. But as a congregation, we cannot expect to rise above the work that is supposed to be going on at home. It's just not going to happen. As parents, we've got to understand that it is not the church's responsibility to ground our children in the truth. As a parent, that's my responsibility to do that. It's my responsibility to make sure that my child knows the Word of God as his father. I must be his primary spiritual leader. That means that the great bulk of work of teaching our kids the Word of God, it needs to be going on at home. That's exactly what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Here Paul is saying that as parents, we've got to make sure that we teach and ground our children in the gospel. And if we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, if we can raise children who will faithfully serve God, if we can raise children who will devote themselves to God's work, then our work here in this local place, it will move forward dramatically. God's work will continue to grow and thrive here for decades to come. But if our kids learn at home that the Lord and His work and His Word are not really that important, then God's work here is going to suffer. When the spirituality of our families begins to diminish, so does the work of our local congregation. Those things go hand in hand. I just want you to see that families are important to children. And they're important to the local church. And then thirdly, I want to submit to you also that they're important to our culture. You know, there's an old adage that says, as the home goes, so goes the nation. Another says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Both of those things reflect the same fundamental thought. And that is, they express to us that the things we do in our homes, they extend far beyond our little family unit. They express to us that homes are the building block for society. They express that what happens within the four walls of our homes that impacts our community, our culture, our world. In fact, Dr. Paul Popano, who is often referred to as the father of modern marriage counseling, he has observed that no society has ever survived long after its family life deteriorated. Translation, if our culture is going to survive, then we've got to have strong, stable families. But I just want you to see so far, ladies and gentlemen, this family is so important. They're so important. There's so many different things. They are vital. In fact, they are so vital that our greatest enemy, the devil, he pays a lot of attention to them. I want you to know this morning, my friends, that the devil wants to destroy your family. The devil wants to destroy your family. It is true that God has a plan for families. Remember, from the very beginning, God intended for a man and a woman to marry and stay together for the rest of their lives. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Jesus quotes from this verse in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, when saying the Pharisees strayed on this issue. And then in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, we learn from the Apostle Paul that God intends for couples to not only stay together, but under the Father's leadership, the couple is to raise up their children to be soldiers for Jesus Christ, to be faithful followers of Jesus. That is God's plan for every single family. But you see, the devil has different plans. In fact, through our society, the devil is promoting something that is very different than what you find in your Bible. You see, what God wants for families, society refers to today as the traditional family. The traditional family is one where you have a husband and a wife who stay together for a lifetime, and they raise their children together. And there was a time when that standard, the biblical standard, God's standard, that was the standard for our society. But unfortunately, as time marches on, the traditional family is becoming a relic of the past. In fact, since 1970, the number of children growing up in a family modeled after the biblical plan has fell from 40% to 24%, and is only getting worse. And this dramatic shift in our culture away from the will of God, it has not come about a crisis. Brothers and sisters, when people stop following God's plan, when a society stops doing that, there are always going to be negative consequences. Anytime a society gets away from the standards of God, things only get worse for that society. Things do not get any better. God's way is always the right and best way. In fact, Dr. Wallerstein made the argument that radical changes in family are silently altering the social fabric of our nation. In other words, so many problems that trouble our society today are rooted in the decline of family. Too many people are getting away from the plan of God. Too many people are living with the mentality that the Bible model is really not that important. That's just a thing of the past. That the Bible model is just not important or relevant to our modern society today. You see, rather than defining family in Bible terms, our culture has decided that a family can be whatever you want it to be. For example, there are some who argue that divorce is not really a big deal. At times, it's even better than a husband and a wife staying together and working through their problems together. There are even some who think it's okay for couples to have children outside of marriage. In fact, feminists tell women today they don't need to have a husband in order to have children. And others are opting to avoid the divorce problem altogether by simply living together without bothering with marriage. They want to enjoy all the benefits of marriage. They just don't want to be married. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has a name for that. That's called sexual immorality. And then there are those who practice homosexuality who are constantly attacking God's plan by arguing that, hey, they too have a right to get married. They constantly try to tell us that having a mom and a dad is in no way superior to a child having two dads or two moms. You see, brothers and sisters, this is where our culture is headed more and more every single day. We need to brace ourselves for it. This is where our culture is headed. And we need to be honest about where all this is coming from. Do you know what the core of all of this is? The core of these kinds of arguments? These kinds of arguments represent, at the end of the day, man's effort to justify what he wants to do. They represent man's effort to live how he wants to live, to direct his own steps when Jesus said his words are the standard for our lives. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, they will judge you in the last day." You see, whether people like it or not, on the day of judgment, what our culture holds as a standard, that's going to be irrelevant. What we think is right is going to be irrelevant on the judgment day. The only thing that's going to matter on the judgment day is what the Lord has said in the gospel. That's the standard we're going to be judged by when we stand before the Lord. And so the question is this. I want to close by asking you this question. What are we to do with the very harsh reality that we have brought to the table this morning? What are we to do with the reality that our culture is getting worse and worse each and every day? What are we to do with the reality that the devil is trying to destroy my family and he's trying to destroy your family? Well, please let me quickly close by giving you three things to take home with you this morning. Three things that I hope will better equip you and better equip your family. What are we to do to combat the devil's assault? Well, number one, let's do this. Regardless of what our culture does, let's just stick with the Bible. How about that? How about regardless of what we see on the news, regardless of where our culture is headed, how about we make a goal to stick with the Bible? Let's stick with the Bible because we know the Bible is right. It's right because it came from God. When we stick by the Bible, we can never go wrong. Remember, we pointed out earlier how God is the one who created family. He created the physical family, and he created the spiritual family, the church. He created these things for our good, and when we just do what God says, we're going to be happier in our lives, and our families are going to be stronger. Let's make sure we stick with the Bible. Husbands, make sure you stick with what the Bible has to say about how you are to love and lead your wife. Be committed to what the Bible says about being a godly model of living before your children. And mothers and wives, stick with what the Bible says about being in submission to your husbands. Embrace the biblical concept of being a great manager of your children. And children, appreciate your mother. Not just a day for Mother's Day, but every day of the week. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Let's make sure that regardless of what our culture does, we just stick with the Bible. And secondly, let's always make sure we appreciate our families. Let's make sure we savor every moment that we have with them because life is so short. Young people, be thankful to God if you have a mother and a father who love you and take care of you. Appreciate your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Savor every moment that you have with them. Husbands, be thankful to God if you have a woman by your side who is helping you go to heaven. Be thankful to God if you have a woman by your side who is helping you serve the Lord and is providing a great environment for your children to be raised in. And wives, be thankful if you have a real man who is leading your family. Be thankful if you have a man who is staying with you and staying with the children, who works hard and who leads the family to serve God. Let this man know that you love him and you appreciate him. Doing those kinds of things will only make your family strong. And for those of you who may not have a spouse, children, or grandchildren, look around and thank God for the spiritual family you have, the church. Thank God that he is your father. Thank God that he has given you four great shepherds here who love you and care about you. Thank God you have 11 great deacons here who serve you and are focused on the work of God. Thank God that you have all of these wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ among you this morning. Thank God for that. Let's make sure we always appreciate our families. And then third and finally, let's always make sure this, that we do spiritual things with our families. Starting today, men, let's make sure we gather our families in the living room for Bible study and prayer. Can we do that? Do you think that's a good thing? I believe that's a good thing. Let's make sure we make time to do that. Let's make sure we bring our families back tonight at 5 p.m. so that we can worship God together with our families. Let's make sure that we do things with our families like go and visit the sick and shut-ins. Let's make sure we do our Bible lessons with our families. Let's make sure we talk about God with our families. Let's make sure we seek after the lost with our families. Man, that'd be like Joshua. You remember Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, choose now this day who you're going to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to what? We're going to serve the Lord. Man, let's be leaders like Joshua. Let's do spiritual things with our families that will strengthen them and make the devil mad. Let's put up some fences that will help protect our families. Let's do the things necessary to make sure we have a strong family and to make sure we lead our family to be to heaven so that they can be with God for all eternity. Let's make sure we do that. You know, unfortunately, my friends, we live in a society where the majority of families are crumbling right before our eyes. It's happening every single day. They're being assaulted and destroyed by the devil, but we don't want that to happen here at Jackson Heights. Here at Jackson Heights, we want to rise above our culture. We want to emphasize the importance of family to our culture, to our community, to the world. We want to tell people what God expects from those who have a family. We want to tell people that families are important because they're important to God. They're important to us as human beings, and if we're going to have strong, righteous families, then we got to stick with the Bible. We got to appreciate our family, and we got to do spiritual things with our families. Now, that's the lesson this morning. Grab a songbook, and we'll get ready to sing in just a moment. Thank you for your kind attention. I really appreciate you listening to the lesson this morning. You know, one of the more important things I want you to take away this morning is this. That you may have a family, and that's great, but the most important family you can ever be part of is the Lord's family, the church. And God wants you to be a part of His family. In fact, He sent His Son Jesus down the cross to make that possible. And you become a member of God's family by believing in His Son, turning away from your sins, and being immersed in the waters of baptism. Once you do those things, God will bring you into His family. He'll be your father, and you will be His child. And you'll have all these brothers and sisters in Christ who will encourage you and help you on your way to heaven. If there be somebody here this morning who in any way will respond to the gospel and be part of the family of God, we certainly want to help you with that. You come to the front right now as we stand and as we sing.